there's a long history about why natural medicines were robbed from us. And I fully believe that we were robbed by Big Pharma in the early 1900s. Basically, a teacher that worked for the oil industry, because the drive then was to turn oil products into pharmaceuticals. And because of all that power, they were able to single-handedly shut down any school teaching anything natural. We can't heal by just giving ourselves chemical compounds from a pharmaceutical. That's really why we need more healing. And a lot of the reason I wrote the book was just so people know that there's more out there than they're given.
Today's episode is a cracker, guys. Speaking to Heidi Moretti, she's a registered dietitian with a passion for healing and functional nutrition. And Heidi is based in Montana in the US, and she's a clinician working in a hospital setting. She's a functional health expert and a researcher with 24 years of experience. So someone who really knows their stuff. Heidi is all about food being used as medicine, and she recently published an amazing book called Gut Fix, which basically shows you how the right foods and supplements and herbs can actually help restore your health. So let's dive straight into the chat with Heidi right now. Heidi, awesome to have you on the podcast. You and I connected on Twitter just recently, and then we got this interview set up really quickly. So I'm really looking forward to this, especially after reading your book, because we're on the same page on so many things when it comes to gut health, but also because of your 24 years of experience in diet and nutrition. So tell us about how you went down that career path.
Well, yeah, thanks. First off, Mark, as far as my training, I think dietitians are uniquely trained about food and the effects on the body. Of course, back in the day, we were trained to accept conventional medicine and work around the confines of how medications interact with food and nutrients, and not the vice versa, rather conforming to how drugs are going to affect us. It became very clear to me that that really wasn't the only path or even the best path. Working with patients, you just realize that, you know, a lot of times the medications were having more side effects than they had benefits. And, you know, and so I would try to dig into issues like that, what they were having, and realize there's definitely, you know, the risk benefit ratio on a lot of natural things are much better. So it's taken me a long time to really hone my skills in gut health. But I would say one of the biggest turning points was about 10 years ago when I turned to functional medicine and learned how really messed up my own gut was, even though I was eating a quote unquote healthy diet. So, you know, getting rid of some of the triggers are, you know, is a forgotten piece. And I think that's usually a pretty straightforward thing for people to do.
Awesome. We'll discuss your book Gut Fix in more detail soon. But one thing that really stood out to me from your website, Heidi, was this mantra on there, which says, healthcare needs more healing. Tell us a bit more about that.
I just tried to figure the most succinct way of describing how I feel about healthcare. And after working in it for so long, you know, there's definitely caring people and caring doctors, but they don't necessarily, they're not given the tools even in school. And it's not their fault. It's a system's fault. There's a long history about why natural medicines were robbed from us. And I fully believe that we were robbed by Big Pharma in the early 1900s. Basically, a teacher that worked for the oil industry, because the drive then was to turn oil products into pharmaceuticals. And because of all that power, they were able to single-handedly shut down any school teaching anything natural. And so we can't heal by just giving ourselves chemical compounds from a pharmaceutical. That's really where my healing, why we need more healing, and a lot of the reason I wrote the book was just so people know that there's more out there than they're given. I've listened to your podcast, and I realize you see the same things I do, and in your own health and in others. So I think that's why I made that mantra. It's still true, yeah, to this day.
Was there any particular reason you became so like laser focused on the gut side of things? Did you experience some serious issues yourself, or was it a case of just a lot of your patients were struggling with digestive problems?
Absolutely. The thing is, I didn't know how bad my gut problems were until I got them better. And I think a lot of people live with just, you know, I'm feeling this way. I'm just getting older. My joints hurt. And the same with me. It was sleeping terribly, taking things for sleep that weren't healthy long term. I had skin issues, and not that I'm vain per se, but when I incidentally went to functional medicine conference and realized that, you know, my food was causing my skin problems, and that, you know, it's that gut health is not just confined to the gut. It affects absolutely everything: your mental health, your physical health, your energy, your ability to sleep. Shortly after, you know, doing an elimination diet and incorporating natural supplements to a higher level, that I healed my gut, and it was fairly rapid that I noticed the differences in how I felt. And one of the things my husband said to me at the time was, wow, you're not kicking me in your sleep anymore. You know, you're not. So that was a fairly win-win. But the mood, the changes, the brain fog, the getting rid of gluten in the background was such an important thing. And who would have known, you know, like I grew up eating gluten 3 meals a day, thinking this is normal. This is what everybody eats. This is how it's supposed to be. And then you realize, wait a second, this is exactly how it is not supposed to be. I'm not saying absolutely everyone is sensitive to gluten, but it's one of the low hanging fruit, you know, for a lot of people.
So a couple of years ago, I wrote and published a book all about my own gut healing journey where I reversed ulcerative colitis. I just share my own story and explain how I did it, as simple as that. But I remember getting quite a bit of pushback and criticism from some other writers in a writer's forum. A guy was basically saying on there that I was lying and spreading misinformation about these natural methods I was using. And it just made me realise that some people out there are just resigned to the fact that you have these diseases, you have IBS, you have colitis, you have this and that, and you just can't get well again. And I think there really needs to be a big shift in the public perception about how many natural tools are actually out there to help you get to the root causes of what are behind a lot of these gut issues. What's your thoughts on this, Heidi?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's very common misconception that, if, you know, you can't treat food like medicine. You cannot, you know, that's, I hear that all the time. I get a lot of that on social media. Like, why? How dare you say that cleaning up your diet makes a difference? It's such a backwards way of thinking that comes from the top, really. But I think there is some momentum in terms of at least working with doctors and providers that they at least acknowledge their deficits on what they don't know. I think they're being trained a little better, at least here. I don't know about there, but that there's more to the story than drugs. And the doctors I've worked with, honestly, they're pretty receptive when you tell them, yeah, look at this study, you know, there's no risk, there's a lot of benefit. Like just say peppermint, look at how it improves gut motility or like the motion of the gut. And they could tell you story after story like that. Like when people actually try something natural, they're usually fairly impressed fairly quickly.
Yeah, so in the first couple of pages of your book, you start rhyming off some stats about how bad things are in terms of gut health all around the world. 40% of people worldwide suffer from digestive disease. And another stat was 66% of people in the US struggle with one or more digestive diseases, which is like 2 out of 3 people. And for me, that's just insane. Why are so many of these guts messed up?
Yeah, there's a lot said about chemicals used and allowed in our food supply, but also just our convenience foods that people really aren't cooking anymore. They're not taking the time to nourish their body. It's on the go, stressful lifestyles. When stressed in and of itself is bad for the gut, but food is an afterthought, not like it should be. Like the only thing we ultimately have is our health. So it's systemic because of that. And I know very few people who cook anymore that don't even have the skills. Sadly, you know, it's hard to overcome a lot of that. But again, it's chemicals like glyphosate here, like in Montana where I live. You will see them fly over with glyphosate Roundup spraying crops like days in harvest. And that's because it ripens the crops uniformly. And every time you eat wheat, every time you eat legumes, they're covered in it unless they're explicitly organic. And then there's some issues even with quality control there. And it's a bit controversial, of course, in this world we're in, but it's very difficult to eat those things. I mean, and also wheat today is raised in a way it's hybridized. It's got three times the gluten it had even in the early 1950s. So it's been hyper glutenized. Our world it's kind of Frankenfood in a way. So getting away from those things that use heavy chemicals is ideal, right? So it's kind of counterintuitive when you say you know, it's better to eat grass-fed beef. It's better to eat fruit foods from the earth that don't have a chemical use. So that's a tough pill for some people to swallow based on a lot of the controversy around food today.
Yeah. And obviously there are some people that won't listen to this whole message that food is medicine. And some people are happy taking their medication, and that's obviously totally fine. But I think what a lot of people don't realise as well, and you have highlighted this in the book, is that medication can actually rob your body of minerals, of nutrients, and then obviously that's going to lead to more deterioration of your health.
Absolutely. And my pet peeve drug is the acid-blocking drugs, omeprazole, Prilosec. They're way overprescribed. Most people who are prescribed them don't need them. There's a time and a place, absolutely. Long-term, the striking risk for Alzheimer's using these drugs, the risk of heart disease, the risk of bone loss, it's just the list of problems that go on and on. They even create more digestive problems because when you block acid, you cannot properly absorb your food. Acid in the stomach is there for a reason. Most people who really feel heartburn are actually feeling indigestion, meaning their foods are not digesting well because they're highly processed, because they're lacking nutrients that help make the digestive enzymes. They don't have live probiotics in them because they're so dead, you know, mm-hmm. that there's, you know, the probiotics themselves help break down the food that I don't think people realize. Probiotics do way more than just give gut bugs, right? They are totally integral to health, mental health, physical health, all sorts of things like that. So yes, drugs do have a lot of negative effects as far as that goes. And if you look at, like, a lot of people get Linzess for, you know, IBS treatment, those drugs have a laundry list of side effects, you know, one of those, and many of them even have side effects of depression, which is exactly the opposite you want to achieve when you're treating, you know, your gut disorder is more mood disorder, you know, fixing the diet fixes mood usually, whereas adding a drug to make things worse, it just doesn't work. So not to say, again, there's not a time and a place for those things, but the time and the place usually should be way after we look at all the diet issues, you know, nutritional deficiencies. We need to address those first. Like, take, for example, vitamin B3 or niacin. If you're deficient, the hallmark sign is diarrhea, dermatitis, things like that. And I think it's the vitamin and nutritional deficiencies are key to getting well. Again, just simply providing the gut cells the nutrients they need to function in a normal way is a quick way for healing. And I think a lot of times people have to take a leap of faith because you tell them, if you get the right vitamins, you can heal. And they've been taking the over-the-counter Centrum, which is fairly, like, highly synthetic. But if you get them on a natural type of vitamin, they do feel better. They feel energized. You know, there's a lot to be gained from taking more natural forms. And so yes, the healing process can occur fairly quickly when incorporating all of the above, you know, eating a nutritious diet and replacing nutrients. And I think a lot of people are in the mindset, because they've been told by the news, that they don't need vitamins, but that's really incorrect. And it's fairly intuitive. If your cells aren't getting the cofactors that they need, they will not properly function. It's just the basic core structure of cells require a lot of nutrients. And when you're eating processed carbohydrates and tons of garbage all the time, and the news is telling you don't take a vitamin, it's just incongruent with what is true. So you can't make vitamins out of thin air, meaning like your diet can't be the American diet and heal. You just can't. And even starting in on a healthy diet, you're way behind. So it could take, you know, a year of eating healthy if you don't take supplements. And you know, supplements just speed up the healing process. They're maybe not forever even, you know, but they do help speed it up. If you want to get better faster, you have to replace what you're missing. It's just, you know, basic fill up the tank sort of situation.
The second chapter in your book, Heidi, is titled Why Diet Just Isn't Enough. And it took me a long time to realize this, that even eating a lot of fruits and vegetables, and even if those are all organic, that might not still be enough to provide the nutrients to give ourselves what they need. Why is that?
Yeah, even if you're trying really hard, that's a great point you bring up, that you may still not get the nutrients, because modern agriculture is such that things are not grown necessarily because they are the best for you. They're grown for speed. Like, say, chemical fertilizers will speed up the growth of just about any plant, but it does not mean these plants are getting the nutrition that they used to. And some estimates show that if you get a regeneratively raised carrot, it's going to have hundreds and hundreds more antioxidants than, say, a carrot you just get out of the grocery store. So, you know, your plate might look like it's got a lot of healthy whole foods on it, but it doesn't necessarily have that. And I mean, that just begs the question of why are we not going back to those practices where foods are raised the way they are intended to be raised? They have, the soil is nurtured by having livestock. We're like, having compost from livestock. I don't think people are in touch enough with their food to know how bad it really is, even so-called good foods. The same goes for like factory meats, of course. Like they're being fed the wrong foods. And, you know, farmed fish doesn't have the nutrients that wild fish does. We cannot trick our soil into growing what it used to unless we do it in a traditional way. So it's really that the soil is robbed and then we're robbed. And magnesium is a perfect example of it. You know, no matter what you do, you can eat all the spinach in the world, but if the soil was not magnesium rich, you will not get magnesium. So that's why magnesium deficiency is one of the most common things you'll see today, which highly affects gut health. So I think that's in a nutshell why you cannot get enough nutrients through your diet alone. It doesn't mean don't try to, but it means you still have to think about what you're missing, even when you're eating well.
Yeah, absolutely. Now let's talk about supplements and herbs. Given standard diets these days and all the crap on our supermarket shelves, do you think that most people of all ages should be taking supplements daily?
It's very clear that you get high quality supplements, people do feel better. There's studies even that shows that they reduce cardiovascular more, you know, risks, things like that, so reduce stroke risk, many aspects of health, bone density, you know, you the list goes on and on. So yeah, people do need to focus in getting key supplements. High quality ones, of course, are a huge difference. You know, like we genetically, at least about half of the population are not primed to use synthetic folic acid. Well, it just doesn't work well for about half the population. So throwing in synthetic vitamins just isn't the answer either. So quality control using pure products. You know, there's a lot of ways vitamins are tested for purity, but, you know, there are brands that are trusted by healthcare professionals. So it's there are ways to get good products.
And how do people figure out what supplements are quality? And how do they avoid ones that are maybe not quite so good?
Yeah, it becomes a challenge because, you know, vitamins have these long names, even if they are natural. Like, say, for example, folic acid, the natural variety is called methylfolate, or you'll see it as 5-MTHF on the label. So it gets fairly confusing. And that's what I go into a lot in my book of how to make sense of it all, because people can't, you know, like, without a lot of training, know what to do. So that's one of my goals in my book, is just to help people make good choices with that. And using, you know, sometimes, not that Amazon is bad per se, but sometimes there's a lot of fake brands that pose as what they are and they're not. So using, again, a good dispensary, or using even pharmacies that carry high quality products. I know there's several in where we live here locally that carry good products. Or like finding practitioners that are knowledgeable, like a functional medicine doctor or functional medicine dietitian in your area to recommend those things. But definitely my book outlines a lot of the ways to choose natural. Because let's say if you don't know your genetics, you're still going to be better off with natural folate, even if you don't have the genetic variant that causes us not to be able to use that vitamin. So I think naturals always makes sense, you know, because ultimately at the end of the day, another vitamin that we know, vitamin B6, for example, if you use the synthetic kind, it actually causes the body to lose more of its natural B6 that you get from foods. It's really kind of shady, the synthetic world of vitamins. And that's why, like, you'll see synthetic vitamins having some toxicity, whereas usually the natural ones do not.
Yeah, Heidi, I'm actually just back from a holiday in Canada where I was visiting my cousin. And when I was over there, he had bought this new supplement. I think it was called Athletic Greens. So he had this greens powder that he would mix in the morning with water, and it listed all of these different vitamins it had in it. And then he was asking me about it. He was like, why does this say 500% of the RDV? And why is this one 400%? So I think he was actually getting a wee bit worried about these high numbers and how they were higher than the recommended daily value or intake. So my message to him was just, listen, you're not going to overdose on vitamins. There's actually a huge likelihood that you've been deficient in a lot of these for a long time. So it's really just bumping up what your body really needs. What is your perspective on these figures in the RDV or the RDI in general?
Yeah, that's a trick, because the RDI, or the recommended daily intake, is based on usually preventing death from deficiency. It's not optimizing health. So say, for example, the RDI for vitamin C being around 90 milligrams, fine, that's fine. You won't die from deficiency if you get 90 milligrams. However, when that RDI was set, it did not take into account that most people these days are overweight and obese. And we know that extra tissue in the body increases the vitamin C needs beyond the RDI. And then the other issue with the RDI is, yes, you won't die from vitamin C deficiency, but you could use vitamin C in a way that it works as a natural antihistamine. If you use a higher dose, and it'll have no side effects compared to your over-the-counter antihistamine drugs if you use the right dose. So I think we can use it medicinally beyond what the RDI tells us if we know what we're doing with it, and as a much safer option. So I think the RDI is a fairly rudimentary measurement of almost any nutrient, because it's, like you said, you've been years of deficient. Why do you think you just need the RDI? You know, it doesn't work. The RDI doesn't really help people. What I have found helps people is if they have, you know, measurement, like how they feel pre and post, you know, what you tried, did it help how you feel, you know, at a higher dose? And a lot of times the answer is yes. Like, there's even clinical trials on vitamin B1 using quite high doses and looking at gut repair, or even using high doses of thiamine, vitamin B1, and in helping people reduce the risks of having type 1 diabetes. So we can use vitamins therapeutically beyond the RDI, is, I guess, the point.
Yeah. So your book's titled Gut Fix, and you go into much more detail on all of this stuff in the book, and I'll definitely link to the book in the show notes below. But for anyone listening to this right now, are there any like must-have supplements for someone with GI issues, like ones that you would recommend that they take straight away?
Yeah, one that's fairly easy. I mean, the risk is basically zero and the benefits are huge for so many people, is to get a good broad spectrum digestive enzyme. I talk a lot about that in the book, but it's ones that help you break down carbohydrates, fats, protein, because when your gut is inflamed, you cannot produce the digestive enzymes you need. Yes, your pancreas produces some digestive enzymes no matter what, but the gut lining provides the largest bulk of digestive enzymes. And I think that's a little bit even lost on doctors, that, oh, your pancreas is fine, you do not need digestive enzymes. Well, that's not true. Your gut is inflamed. You do not make the amount of enzymes you need. So that's a number one. The other one is getting a really good high quality multivitamin with minerals is a basic, just, you know, tool that everybody should have, that minimum. And most people need magnesium. So it's those three.
Yeah, definitely. Listen, Heidi, I've really enjoyed the chat with you today. Just before we wrap things up, where can people connect with you to find out more about you and the work that you do?
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, you can buy my book, Gut Fix. It's on Amazon. It's on Barnes & Noble. You can check out my website at thehealthyrd.com. I have a lot of supplement information there too. But yeah, my book is also free on Kindle Unlimited. So check it out. It's really there to help you. That's my whole goal in getting people to see there's more to the story.
Okay, guys, thanks for listening to another episode. I hope you got some value from everything that Heidi shared. And listen, I just want to add at the end here, when I was struggling with my gut issues, I read literally hundreds of books on gut health, nutrition, and the workings of the body. I was just so desperate to find answers and figure things out that I was reading just tons of books every year. And I've got to say that this book of Heidi's is honestly one of the best I've read out of all of those books, so I would recommend checking it out. Okay, thanks for tuning in. Hope you have a cracking day. Catch you in the next episode.